This is Karchi class number one, October 28th, Maharas Purnima, Ashwin Purnima, Maharas dance, Sharad Purnima, October 28th, 2023, and the subject we're discussing is Sri Radha Manjaris, continuing our classes on Radha Sudha Nidhi, which we started years ago, and we're going now back and finishing verses that we haven't finished. So this first verse that we're starting with is kind of acting like a mangalacharna, auspicious beginning of a book or a play or an event by offering prayers to Rishadevata or prayers to the contents of the book or prayers to the previous acharyas and guru parampara. It's called mangalacharana, create auspiciousness. So this is verse 81 from Radha Sudha Nidhi. The subject matter of this verse: it glorifies those that give up everything. They give up everything to meditate on Radharani. In other words, it basically is glorifying the tyagi sadhus and any devotee, man or woman, who gives up the world to practice Raghunuga Bhakti with the sole intention of attaining the eternal service of Radha and Krishna in the kunjas of Vrindavan. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. So it describes how they renounce everything, all karmas, varnashram dharmas, all formalities, and it describes the form of Radharani. Because this is Radha Sudha Nidhi, so every verse is about Radharani, Radharani and Krishna, Radharani and Manjaris, Radharani and Sakis, Radharani and Bhaktis, and it's like this, how the book goes. Kaishora Bhuta Madhuri Bara Durina Anga Chavim Radhikam Premalasa Bharadikam Niravadi Dayanti Yetad Diya Chakta Karmavir Atmaneva Bhagavad Dharma Apyao Niramama Savascharya Gatim Gata Rasamayam Tevyo Mahadibyo Namaha. Translation. The commentaries of this discussion of this class are coming from Sri Anandadas Babaji Maharaj, who is in Goloka Vrindavan now, but he left some wonderful books for everyone to cultivate their bhakti bhajan, like Radha Sudha Nidhi. So, translation. Translations of Bengali to English are done by Sri Advaita Das Ji from Holland. So the author, Sripad, in his sadhaka rup, is showing his humility towards the great saints and devotees. So I thought that was a good verse to start a class. We're going to discuss the glories of Radha and Krishna, so we need the mercy of our own individual gurus and our well-wishers and our individual guru paramparas and parivars to understand this esoteric, most sublime subject of Radha Krishna's prem, keli, and loving pastimes in Brajadam. I offer the author, Prabhupada Saraswati, who from now on I will refer to as Sripad. He's called Sripad, he's usually called Sripad, which means Sripad Prabhupada Saraswati. But he's saying in sadhaka rup as a practitioner, not in a manjari rup or in sakis rup, he's saying, offer my obeisances unto the great souls who even mentally, what to speak of physically, even mentally renounce all attachment to karma, fruit of activities, and regulated devotion to God, which means mundane rules and regulations of devotion which aren't essential to actual essence of bhakti. They renounce karma and formal devotion to dedicate themselves to the most astonishing goal. What is the most astonishing goal? Is to meditate on Sri Radhika. This is the sum and substance of Gaudiya Siddhanta, and sum and substance of the Gaudiya Sampradaya is the service of Radharani as performed by her sakis and maid servants, kinkris, dasis, or manjris. So then he says, who is this Radharani? So he says, you're meditating on Radhika. So someone says, who is this Radharani? Oh, you don't know? Then he has these beautiful Sanskrit words to describe her. She's a Radharani is a wonderful form of adolescent sweetness, means youthful sweetness, like a teenage girl. She's only 14 years old. So it's very young woman, we can say. It's a wonderful form of adolescent sweetness, and his body is adorned with a pinnacle of ecstatic love. So I'm thinking I had the idea to present this class, present a verse, and then go through the word for word, roughly, and then discuss it. The Leela, there's a Leela described in the purport by Sri Ananda Swamiji. We'll talk about the Leela and discuss the particular points of Tattva after the Leela. So Tattva and Leela go together. So let's look at the first line. Line one, the Sanskrit, is describing Radharani's form. One interesting word in the Sanskrit here that's very common to the language of Prabhupada Saraswati. Throughout this book and Chaitanya Chandraya Natakam and Acharya Prabandha and all the different books he's compiled and written, he always talks about Jyoti this and Jyoti that and Chabi and Chabin, Chabin, Chabim, Chabi. And so all these words, Jyoti, Chabi, they all mean light. They mean effulgent, radiant. So why is he so preoccupied with these words, Jyoti, Brahma Jyoti? Because he was an Advaitin follower of Advaitin, the impersonal school. He was converted to Gaudiya Vaishnava. He was converted to the personal conception of worshipping Bhagavan as a personality of Godhead by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, who was a Bhav and Kanti Radharani and Krishna Sarupam. When he met in Benares, which is called, I think, Allahabad now, Benares, or maybe it's called Benares, I don't know, Kashi Benares, anyway, Benares. They met there, and Lord Chaitanya preached to him. He told me he should study Vedanta Sutra, and don't dance in the streets and chant the Maha Mantra, and all these things. And at that meeting, Lord Chaitanya said, my Gurudev said, I'm a fool. I can't study Vedanta. I should just chant and dance. So Lord Chaitanya is making a joke because he's a Digby Jai Pandit. But anyway, what happened by the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada Saraswati got converted from the impersonal, the Advaitin view, to the Advaitin view, to the personal conception of Krishna as Krishna Vrindavan. And he moved to Vrindavan and established a Vajan Kutir in Kaliyadaha, where Krishna killed the Kaliya demon. And he left his body in that that Kutir also. So he, because he was meditating his whole life, he was a guru of Advaitin Siddhanta, he was very much attached to Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of Brahman, the effulgence surrounding the body of Vasudeva, Narayan, Vishnu, whatever. So because if you compare Prabhupada Saraswati's Rasic books with Raghunath Das, Rasic books, or Rupa Goswami, especially or Jiva Goswami, they hardly ever use the word Jyoti, Jyoti or Chabi. And this one verse says, Chubby once. Well, there's another verse we'll read. Use the word chubby, which means effulgence, means jyoti, means light. Use it four times in one verse. So it's interesting to note how our different conditioning, philosophical conditioning or material conditioning, affects the way we write and affects the way we speak. Because that's one thing. Well, I often say when you read a shastra, you should be careful, you should understand who the author is. Where is the author coming from? What is his guru line? What siddhanta does he represent? Okay, he's translating a major work of the Six Goswamis, but is he going to inject some of the philosophy or avasiddhanta or wrong conceptions that he's learned in his own parivar or learned in his own branch of Gaudiya Vaishnavas into his translations? And invariably, if you're a sharp reader and know the Tava Siddhanta, you'll find many slips in the translations. So that's why it's very important to read translations by a reliable Gaudiya Vaishnava who's also a scholar. I mean, one of the most famous scholars here in Vrindavan, contemporary Vrindavan today, is Satyanarayan Das Babaji from Jiva Institute. So I had three editions of Sandarbhas translated by different disciples of Prabhupada, or four different disciples of Prabhupada, four different editions of Sandarbhas, and they can't match the one that's done by Satyanarayan in terms of expertise or accuracy or siddhanta. So I read the other ones, and then I realized, I said, wow, I got a different book here. So that's just a side point to keep in mind. Because when you're reading someone, you're assuming that's what association means. And as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu described association, it's like a crystal next to a colored object. Crystal, clear glass, cut crystals type of a mineral called crystal, and they cut it and make shapes out of it. So it has a red object to it. All the facets of the crystal are showing that red color in its own body, its own transparent body of crystal becomes red color. So that when you read someone's books, you take on their qualities and their bhav by osmosis, by sangha. Sangha means what? Sangha means association. Sangha means mixing your mind with the mind of another person, mixing your body with another body, mixing your conceptions, mixing your heart, mixing your emotions. This is a full understanding of Sangha. So on one level or another, in the definition of Sangha, when we read some author's books, we're taking on his qualities, emotional qualities, mental qualities, intellectual qualities, or physical qualities. So one should be very choosy in particular. And always try to read the Goswami books and with the commentaries of Acharyas. Just translations are not very useful. Some good is there, obviously, but it's like when you get a book without commentaries, it's like 10% of understanding the book. You get all the commentaries, it's 50%. The other 50% is by Smriti. By revelation, by the mercy of Krishna. Atachi Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Gremindre Seva Mukhe Jivara Swayam Eva Spurayana. So you begin to serve with your senses and mind, Indriya and your man, and if Krishna is pleased with your attitude and pleased with your sodachar and your abhiman is your attitude and sodachar is your behavior, then Krishna gives you smriti of the subject matter. You have realizations and understanding of the deep meaning and deep context and purpose underlying all the teachings that you're reading. So the first sign describes Radharani, Kaishora Bhuta Madhuri Bhara Durina. She has Bhuta Madhuri, she has amazing sweetness, and not just Madhuri sweetness, Madhuri Bhara. Bhara means heavy, thick, condensed. She's filled with sweetness. And Durina means ample, means she's like fully, fully sweet. That's why she's called Madhurya Rupam. And she's Kaishor, she's a young teenage girl. Angachabim means her form is very effulgent, very radiant. This is the person I'm worshipping, this is my Radhika. She is the supreme worshipper of Krishna, and I'm the supreme worshipper of Radharani. Prabhupada Saraswati, Saraswati Pad. Then the next line he describes that this is the form of the person. She has a very sweet form. She's a teenage girl and she's concentrated and condensed sweetness very effulgent. What else is she? He says, second line, prema lasa bara adhikam niravadi. Niravadi means moment to moment, constantly. It means moment to moment. Adhikam, extra, additional, bara, heaviness, depth, ulas. She is, his translation says, she's a wonderful form of the pinnacle of ecstatic love. She's concentrated, joyful, concentrated, heavily full of joyful prema for Krishna. This is the person to worship. Because by the mercy of Radharani, we can also get prema for Krishna. This is Jayanti Yetadhyaya. That personality, that object of meditation, I'm meditating on her. So who's doing this? These persons described here. Chakta Karmavir Atmaneva Bhagavad Dharma O Nirmama. Nirmama means, it's a description of a type of a sadhu called Nirmama Sadhu. Nirmama means nothing is mine. It's called Niskinchan. Kinshya means a little bit of attachment, a little bit of materiality in the ego or in the mind or in the senses is not there. It's nish, not nishka, kinshya. Kinshya means a teeny bit, kinshya. Not even a little bit is attached in this material world. It's in the heart and mind of the saintly devotees. So nirmama means not any kind of mamamati, possessive feelings, I and mine. I in this body, this is my house, this is my place, this is my country, this is my mother, wife, sister. They're nirmama. Oh, the nirmamas, oh, the nirmamas. They've given up all karma and all Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma in this sentence refers to Vaidhi Dharma, or what we call Vaidhi Sadhana. That's how the translator, Ananda Swaji, understands this Bhagavad Dharma. Because ordinary dharma, ordinary religious practices are performed to worship Bhagavan. Bhagavat dharma to worship Ramachandra. Bhagavat dharma to worship Vishnu. Bhagavat dharma to worship Krishna. But what is this Bhagavat dharma? This isn't Bhagavat dharma. This is Shakti dharma. It's not our dharma, our way of, our object of worship is Shakti. It's Prem Srubhrini Radharani. So this is unheard of. All the worshippers of Vishnu, no one worships Lakshmi independently, separately. No one worships Sita Devi independently, separately from Ram. It's always Sita and Ram, Lakshmi and Ryan. But Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we worship Radharani separately. Even when we're worshiping Krishna, we pray to Krishna, I'm worshiping you. Why am I worshiping you? If we get your mercy so I can get Radharani's Kripa. There's a verse like that in the same book, verse 259, Radharasunidhi. Verse 259, Prabhupada Saraswati Pad says, I chant my Diksha mantras, I chant Harinam Sankirtan, I go to Kirtan Melas and Bhakti Fest, and I study the Bhagavatam, I worship a Murti of Krishna, I live in the holy Dhamma of Krishna, Krishna Dham, Hardwar, well, probably live in Navadvip or Puri or Vrindavan. I do all this puja to worship and please Krishna. Why was my manobishtam? My manobishtam is Radhapadadasi. Radhapadadasi ekabhishtam. My one and only cherished desire is to attain a service of the sweet lotus feet of Radharani. So I'm saying Gopal mantra, Kam Gayatri, Hare Krishna Maha mantra, reading the Bhagavad Puran, which is all about Krishna. And worshiping a Murti of Krishna and praying to all of them and doing all that to get the mercy to become eligible to become a Dasi of Radharani. This is the teaching of Six Goswamis and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these type of persons, they've given up all their ordinary karma, and they're because they've been possessed and captured and captivated by an extraordinary goal of life. The Paramgatim is not for them, not Vaikuntha Mukti in four different varieties. Salokya Mukti, Sharasti Mukti, Samipi Mukti, Srubhi Mukti. The goal for them is Sarvascharya Gatim, Gati, of all the possible destinations and goals one can attain. Sarvagati, all the goals. There's one that's called Ascharya. The word Ascharya in Sanskrit and Hindi means the same thing. Ascharya means astonishing. Wow. Like what is your goal is to become a 12-year-old girl? Worshiping Radharani? That's pretty astonishing. No, that's the reality. That's the Param Gati. That's Ascharya Gati. You have Param Gati, okay. All glories to your Param Gati, Vaikuntha Prapti, or you want to go to Swarga, that's even less of a Param Gati. But that's Mukti of sorts, Swarga Mukti. You want to go to any Vaikuntha, but we don't want that. We want Ascharya Gati, the astonishing goal, those lotus feet. Mahadevyo Namah, that I'm spending my time meditating on that. So now let's see what's in store in the verse here, what jewels of wisdom and sweetness of, that will be revealed to us by Sri Ananda Sasvati Maharaj. He describes this verse, he takes it to mean this. This verse describes the great devotees who always meditate on Sri Radha. The word dhyan, because dhyanti, dhyā means the object of meditation, and dhyanti means the practice of meditation. Dhyanti yetad dhyā, that person, that Radhika, I meditate. She's the object of meditation, and I'm meditating on her. And dhyanti means without any cessation, without end. I'm meditating 24 hours a day on that Radhani. Dayanti. So he says, the word dhyan means the third stage of meditation, according to Jiva Goswami in Sandarbhas, which is called dhyan. Which in this, what is dhyan? It means one specifically meditates on the forms or lilas of Radha and Krishna. Visheshato rupa adi chintanam dhyanam. Rupa Goswami calls dhyan, he defines dhyan as constant meditation on the forms, qualities, and pastimes and seva of Radha and Krishna. Actually, in Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami, it's a very interesting progression he includes in his meditation. He said when chanting japa is described in Anuchet 256, the sequence, the nam krama, the sequence of stages one passes through a nam. So he says, first you chant the name until you realize the name is not different from Krishna. Binatran namanamano. There's no bina, no difference, no separation between the person and the name Krishna. The name is the person is the name. That's the first. And the second understanding will manifest from chanting Hare Krishna, the form of Krishna. So he explains it in Sandarbha. First you realize the name is in Krishna, the form is Krishna, the qualities of Krishna. Then usually we say Namru Guna Lila. But he doesn't say that. He says Namru Guna Parishad. Namru Guna Parishad Lila. So first, it was the highest stage of chanting Hare Krishna. Maybe you can say the stage of Ruchi, Asakti, and the high stages, to realize these stages, and that doesn't come overnight. So he says, you realize the form of Krishna, then the quality and the qualities, and then the associates of Krishna. You have a revelation about the Sakis and the Manjaris, Rupa Manjari, and Tulsi Manjari, and Lalita Vishaka, and Radharani, and Sridhar, and Subal, and Balaram, and Yashoda, and Nanda, and Kirtida, and Bishabana, and Anangamandri, and all the whole dynasty, the whole Parishad, and all the Nitya Parishads. And then Leela. Because the Leela doesn't work without the members. You can't have a movie without actors. Actors and sub-actors, main players and secondary characters. So enter Leela, Mete, and Leela. That's the last. First you get your bob in place, get your names in place, understand the qualities of the players in Leela, understand their bobas and feelings and sentiments, and then get the mercy of all the associates and familiarize yourself with them. That's why our Rupa Raghunath gave us key books to study, to learn about the associates. What are those key books to study? Rajavilastava. Hello?
Yes.
Rajavilastava, Stavali, one poem from Stavali called Rajavilastava by all the Rishvasis. What's another one? That's by Das Goswami. What's the book by Rupa Goswami?
Radha Krishna
Ganadesh Deepika. These are the two handbooks for the family members of Krishna and Radharani. So we have to become acquainted with them. Read those books and understand all of it as much as we can. So when we read the Leela, well, oh, she's the grandmother, she's the uncle, this, that. She's like this, she wears a dress like this, she has complexion like this. It becomes more and more absorbing. It depends on how much you're absorbed. How much this world, this reality, becomes your real world, your real reality. Now our real reality is, what color shirt am I going to wear tomorrow? What color dress am I going to wear? That's also a reality, but it's not a very high reality. It's very basic. Food, clothing, and shelter are basic. Every animal has food, shelter. They don't have to change their clothes. They have lifetime clothing. So we're more fortunate if you're an animal, you don't have to worry about shopping and changing your clothes. You wake up with stripes, you go to sleep with stripes, you're out all day with stripes. You don't want stripes, you want polka dots, then you get another animal body with polka dots. A leopard, I become a leopard. Leopard has polka dots, I think.
Yeah.
You want stripes, you're tired, you want polka dots, you have to be a leopard. You want to be solid color, you have to be a lion. You like black things and black people, you have to think of a black panther. That's a little bit of a joke. Anyway, there's different strokes for different folks. But this is the thing. So he says, he's talking about meditation. So I'll just give a little review here of meditation. He mentioned that, so I added to the commentary of my Shiksha Guru, Sri Anandas Babaji Maharaj. Because Jiva Goswami, he mentions how he says this is the third stage of meditation. So what are the first two stages of meditation? Dhyana is the third stage. The first two are smaran. It's what's called five stages of smaran. Smaran means remembrance. And meditation, dhyana and remembrance are actually different situations. But the object is the same. The object of smaran is the same as the object of meditation. I'll explain the difference. Smaran means occasional recollection of a particular person or concept. So occasionally remember the Leela of Krishna and Radharani, occasionally remember their forms. That's called smaran, simple meditation. And that gets more concentrated, we get more focused. We withdraw our concentration from our senses. We withdraw our concentration from our active mind and our inactive mind. Inactive mind is subconscious mind. We withdraw our attention from our conscious mind and the unconscious mind. And we fix it as much as possible on one object, means Radha Krishna Leela. That's called dharana. The word dharana means holding. Hold your mind. Hold your mind. What can hold your mind? Form can hold your mind, sound can hold your mind. Grab your mind, like you hear a sound somewhere, boom, your head, everything goes that way. What's that? All your attention goes there. So the form of Krishna, the sound of Krishna's flute, that can all be objects of dharana. That's why Krishna's called Murali Dhar, Vamsi Dhari. He's holding a flute, he's holding a Murali, he plays that Murali, what does it do? What does dhara mean?
Hold.
Catch. kidnapped. So Krishna plays the Murali Dara. Dara means holding. One who holds the Murali is called Murali Dara. One who holds the plow is called Haladar. Hala means plow, Balaram. One who holds the Vansi is called Vansi Dara. One who holds the chakra is called Chakradari. Chakradari. So when Krishna plays, it means two things. The word Dara means holding, and Dara means river. Premdara. Premdara is son of the disciple Nathadaswami named Premdara. She's from Delhi. She's a very good devotee. I think she's a guru also. I think so. Very good devotee. Premdara. So it means a river of Prem, a stream of Prem, Dara. So that's the second stage of meditation. Third stage is Dhyan, which is what these detached, absorbed devotees are doing Dhyan. They're on the third stage of meditation. They're doing Dhyan of Madhuri Bara, Abhuta Kishori, Madhuri Bara, Durina. They're meditating with, it says here, special meditation on the forms, continuous attention, with very little distraction, no distraction, is called Dhyan. The fourth stage is called Dhruva Anusmriti. Dhruva means very strong. The word Dhruva, I mean, there's a boy named Dhruva. Dhruva means very fixed. You can't move. Dhruva, you can't move. A person's Dhruva, you can't move. Like Bruce Lee or something. He can't move. Everybody moves, but he doesn't move. He moves everybody. So Dhruva is like that. He moves everybody. Dhruva is such a boy, 5-year-old boy. He moved the whole universe. Whole universe is coming, moved. He didn't move anywhere, but his control, he inhaled his breath. He took all the breath from the universe, and nobody could breathe. Indra, Brahma, Shiva, nobody could breathe. They said, "We can't breathe." The guy took, he's doing pranayama. He's taking all the oxygen in the universe. This king? So Vishnu said, "Come on, let him loose, man. Exhale." So he exhaled, and they got to breathe again. So he already made a move. He's Dhruva. Nobody moves. "I'm not moving. You guys don't move." So I get my sankalpa fulfilled. I have a sankalpa. I teach my father a lesson. Don't throw me over your lap, you know, and shut me also. Don't mess with me. I'm a prince. I'm 5 years old. He's 5 years old yet, but a 50-year-old ego. He had the ego of a 50-year-old king. Hey, don't mess with me. And his stepbrother was occupying the throne with his stepmother, Suruchi. She had a better taste than his mother. His mother is Suniti. Suniti means good girl. His first wife was Suniti, means well-behaved. Niti means behavior. Niti Shastra, codes of behavior. So she has very good behavior. She didn't look so sweet. So kings have roving senses, you know, they're all chancho. Okay, they never satisfy one queen or two or three or four or five, 50. They always go out and get another one next door. So this is Dhruvana Smriti, means like a steady stream of oil. You have a bottle of pour oil, it doesn't break. It just keeps going and flowing. So ongoing meditation. It's like a Ganga. It's compared to Ganga. The Ganga never stops. It's flowing. It's moving quite fast and quite quickly, going to Ganga Sagar, the ocean. And the last stage is Samadhi. Samadhi for us is to have darshan of Radha and Krishna. So then, to support this idea of meditation, Nandadas quotes different verses from Shastra. Bhakti Rasmita Sindhu 1.2.178. Dhyanam Rupa Guna Krita Swade Susu Chintamani. He says Dhyan is constant meditation on a form, guna qualities. Krita means lila and seva. Shustu Chintamani. Chitta means thinking, also meditation. Shustu means no break. Narottam Das Thakur explains in Prem Bhakti Chandrika. These are core books for Gaudiya Vaishnava. You read the books of Ananta Das, Babaji Maharaj, when he quotes Siddhanta, Tava Siddhanta, he always quotes Sandarbhas, he always quotes Bhakti Rasmita Sindhu, Ujjalina Mani, and Prem Bhakti Chandrika. These are the main sources he quotes, and of course Bhagavatam Gita goes without saying. But outside Gita and Bhagavatam, which are Prasthan Traya, they're one of the three most important books, he always quotes the Goswami books, Narottam Das Thakur, Mahashaya, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rishi Sindhu, Ujjalina Mani, Vishnu Chakravarti, Vishnu Chakravarti, whatever, commentaries, whatnot, Prem Bhakti Chandrika. So, and he also translated Prem Bhakti Chandrika with commentaries, another fantastic offering. So he's talking about these great devotees that have tyaktya, they renounce, given up karma and Bhagavad Dharma to worship Radharani. Because what are they following? What are they pursuing? They're pursuing Uttam Bhakti. What is Uttam Bhakti? Uttam Bhakti personified is Srimati Radharani. She's a form of Uttam Bhakti. Uttam Bhakti means Prema Bhakti. Uttam Bhakti means Mahabhava Radharani. So now, Anandas in his presentation, commentary on this verse, he quotes the definition of Uttam Bhakti by Rupa Goswami in the Mangal Charan of Bhakti Rasmita Sindhu. First wave, chapter 1, verse 11. Krishna Shilam Bhakti Uttam. So this Bhakti, Uttam Bhakti is, as he translates, or as Vaitadas translates, his highest devotion, topmost devotion, which is favorable and pleasing to Krishna, and is devoid, it is completely empty and free from any desire for fruitful activity or empirical knowledge, which means jnana, material jnana. Bhakti jnana is a different category of knowledge than jnana of jnana yoga or jnana marg. And now Now he quotes Jiva Goswami's commentary on this Nectar of the Ocean, Bhakti Rasmita Sindhu. This verse about definition of pure bhakti. The word karma here refers to fruit activities described in Smriti Shastra. Because Smriti Shastra are full of what they call Dharma Shastra. Dharma Shastras describe different rules and regulations to on this day, this month, you do this puja to this deva, you do this puja to that deva. That's called Dharma Shastra. So Krishna, what does Krishna say about Dharma Shastra and Gita? Sarva dharman pratyaja mami kam sanam raja ham chan sarva papaya moksha shumasucha. 18th chapter of Gita, 66th verse. He says, Dharma Shastra, Shruti Shastra, no need for those. Just surrender to me, don't be afraid. Because if you're Indian, you're very afraid to violate the Vedic injunctions. Prabhupada said one tape, Indian culture was such if you told someone something, you should fast Swarthi Kasi. The person would say, why? Is it a Vedic injunction? Yes, it's a Vedic injunction. Vedic injunction means Shastra Vidhi. Shastra Vidhi means Vedic injunction. Okay, yes sir. They would dutifully follow Vedic injunction. Now, no one cares. Eat, drink, and be merry. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. But that was then and that was now. But I'm more then than now. So old is gold, they say. So because in the verse it talks about giving up Bhagavad Dharma, so he describes that they're absorbed in the highest meditation, Radharani, so they far exceeded ordinary Bhagavad Dharma. Now they send a check to our karma. They've also given our karma. So systematically and very intelligent, Babaji Maharaj describes about karma here. Because Rupa Goswami says, defines pure bhakti as free from karma. So karma, But this, because in the Sruti Shastra, Dharma Shastra, there's something called Nitya Kritya. Nitya Kritya means daily duties. And in the morning you offer Surya Tarpan, and then do this at sunrise and chant your Brahma Gayatri facing east and all these things. Surya Tarpan means you take a kabralota, tamralota, and you offer pani to the rising sun. That's called Tarpan, Surya Tarpan. That's the vidhi in the Sruti Shastra. It's a rule that Kshatriyas, Brahmins, and Vaishyas are supposed to do, and you'll see them do it also in holy places. If they bathe in the river, even I've seen people in the ocean in Puri doing that. You go to the ocean, it's called Tirtha Samudra. Samudra is also holy Tirtha, because Ram Chandra went through the ocean and Gauranga bathed in the Ganga goes to the ocean, and Krishna bathed in Yamuna, Yamuna goes in the ocean. And Matsya swim around the ocean. Matsya avatars swim around there. Maybe some other universe also. So he says, so there's Nitya Kritya, there's mundane Nitya Kritya, which is prescribed in Dharma Shastra, which is good to get which if you follow that, you get a good birth, a good human birth next life. That's one thing. Or you can go to Swargaloka, that's another thing. But if you want to go to Vaikuntha, you have to follow Bhagavat Dharma. So the Dharma Shastras don't really teach Dharma Shastra. I mean, don't really teach Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma is taught in Upanishads and Puranas. Puranas, Upanishads, Mahabharata, Ramayana, they teach Bhagavad Dharma. But so in Bhagavad Dharma, there's also Nitya Kritya. So there's one mundane Nitya Kritya, and transcendental Nitya Kritya. It's daily activities. What are daily activities for followers of worshippers of Radha Krishna? What are they? Y'all do any? Reading Bhagavatam. Nitya Bhagavatam Sevya. Ever hear of Tulsi? Yes. What do you do every day? Nothing.
Give water.
Eat it. You eat Tulsi. That's all about us, right? Okay, that's good. There's just water on Tulsi. One drop, not drown her, but just one drop. She likes dry, not too much water, actually. She's a very dry type plant. Water, offer prayers, offer arti. Some, my guru told me to offer prasada Krishna to Tulsi. Prasada archi, prasada incense, prasada ghee, prasada mala, prasada flowers. That's how we do, in our parivar, that's how we do Tulsi puja. Because she's a sakhi, and sakhis always take Radharani's prasada, Krishna prasada. So first you offer Krishna, the boga, or the archi, the Krishna, then Radharani, sakhis, and like this. So in that line of offering the sakhis, offer to Krishna, Artika, Radharani, Sakis, and offer to Tulsi, because she's a mantri, she's a Sakhi. She's a Priya Sakhi. She's Krishna's Sayadi. She has more affection for Krishna than Radharani. So we offer her Krishna Prasad. She doesn't want Boga. But if people can do Boga, those inviting Mark, they offer Artika every day to Tulsi. That's okay. If you're bound by the rules of Vaidhi and controlled by Vaidhi, you follow that. You're following Ragmarg, there's a different conception, different viewpoint based on a different tattva. More refined understanding of the identity of the people you're worshipping. Both are perfect. One type of worship takes you to Vrindavan, one type of worship takes you to Vaikuntha. Vaidhi sadhana takes you to Vaikuntha, Ragmarga sadhana takes you to Goloka Vrindavan. So you're following Ragmarg, and your guru told you to offer Amaniya to Tulsi, then you follow your guru and offer Amaniya. Because when you get to, when you go to the spiritual world, you worship Tulsi, you worship Amaniya there. Because that's your guru, they tell you. So here, as above, so below. So when we get to the spiritual world, I have my own spiritual world, you have your own spiritual world. My spiritual world over Prasad. So it's a win-win situation. There's not one spiritual world. There's one spiritual world for every liberated soul. How do you like that now? Now stretch your brain around that one. There's billions of Goloka Vrindavans, billions of Gokuls, billions of Varsanas, billions of Nanagrahas. And more every second. Now just 5 seconds would be a billion, 200 million. Because they're infinite. No limitation there. That's the word Vaikuntha means. What does Kunta mean? The word Kunta in Sanskrit means limitation. Vai means without limitation. You can't live, every leader is eternal, every second of Krishna is eternal, every personality is eternal, and ever expanding. That's why it's Adbhuta Tattva. In the beginning of Sandarbha Jiva Goswami says, unless one can accept the Adbhuta Shakti of Bhagavan, the amazing power of Bhagavan, he won't advance in Bhakti Bhajan. Krishna can put it, Vishnu can put an elephant, take an elephant and put it through the eye of a needle. You have a needle, a little hole in the needle, it's called eye of the needle. Hole. And Krishna take an elephant. Yeah, why not? You don't think so? No, it's impossible. It's too, elephant's too fat. Too big, the needle's too small. Okay, take a walk. Grass is greener on the other side. But. So even Ragmarg, Vishnu Chakravarti explains in Ragmarg Ranachandrika, part 1, verse 11, we don't give up these items of picking flowers, string, flower malas, and reading Bhagavatam, etc. They follow even the path of Ragmarg. Hearing Archan, Takarji Puja, hearing Bhagavatam, chanting mantra, chanting Diksha mantra, is all followed by followers of Vaidimarga and Ragmarga. Without following the proper process of hearing, chanting, and archan puja, one can't perfectly follow the residence of Vrindavan. The gopis over Artik every day. Lita over Artik every day to Radharani. Sakhi Artik. Yashoda offers Artik every day to Krishna. Rohini offers Artik every day to Balaram. So there's no problem. They have Tulsi there, everything's there. So this, I made some comment here, because this whole discussion we've been hearing is about giving up Bhagavad Dharma, giving up different kinds of karma. Anyabhilashya karma, jnana karmadi anavritam. Avritam means covering. Anavritam means without cover. Without cover, without the distortion, without the obfuscation, without the covering or distortion of karma or jnana. Pure bhakti is free from that. So he's talking about it's free from karma. Because the verse says, Tyakta karma bhagavad dharma. Tyakta karma, tyakta bhagavad dharma. So Nara's apology is very nicely described what that means. So taking that in mind, I was reminded of some famous verses that we're all familiar with. The Sikha Goswami Asya describes six Goswamis. They were very wealthy ministers in the Mohammedan government, and they gave up everything to worship Radharani and Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati. Mandalapati, pati means controller, rulers, all the circle of powerful people. The circle of powerful people, they gave it all up. Tyaktva. Chakra Turma Sheshmadapati Srinam Sadat Tuchavat. Tuchavat, insignificant. Tuchavat means insignificant. So what's another verse that describes? That's on the low end of sadhakarup. It shows tyag or detachment in the sadhakarup as a practitioner. So Goswami, that verse is describing your life as a sadhaka. So what's the verse from the Bhagavatam that describes Nitya Siddha's renunciation? The answer is yeah. Uddha Mahashaya's prayers in Brahmar Gita, chapter 47, 10th canto. Yadushtyajam, Swajana, Aryapacham, Chahitva, Bejur Makundam Padavin, Ritiman Rigya, Shudivir Rigya. So there Uddha Mahashaya is glorifying the Gopis of Vrindavan as being great tyagis. They're great renunciates. It says, dushta tyagi, dushtya, ya dushtyaja. Dush comes from the Sanskrit mul, dur. Dur means difficult, hard, impossible. Impossibility is dur. Dur means far. Durvas. Durvas means living far away, durvas. Durvasamu, that's not, it's durva. He ate durva grass. That's a different thing. Durvasamu, he was the original wheatgrass guy. He didn't take wheatgrass, he took durva grass. Durva grass juice every day. Okay. Gilroy juice. So, Dushyajam, very difficult to go. What they gave up, they gave their people. Swajanam. Swajanam means my guys, my jana. Who? Husband. You think, what's that? That's not easy. That's easy. Everybody's looking at me. That's not hard. What's so hard about giving up your husband or wife? Well, 5,000 years ago, it was pretty impossible. It was dur, impossible to do. Give up a husband, give up your father. Yeah, your mother-in-law, father-in-law, that's not hard. Mother-in-laws and father-in-laws you can give up easily. But they gave up everything. Bejur Makundam Padavin Shuti Vivi Vigya. To worship the Lord, see you, Makunda. So this is the ultimate perfection of tyag, of renunciation. The ultimate yogis, the ultimate tyagis, the highest tyagis in the universe are Vrajagopis. Let's try to finish this verse today. This last point of the purport, Nanda Swami Maharaj explains result of attaining prema and Raghunatha Bhakti Sadhana. This is how he concludes the verse, because the verse is talking about the Ashraya Param Gatim. Sarvashraya Param Gatim. Excuse me. Sarvashraya Gatim. Of all possible goals, Sarvam Gatim, Ashraya. The most astonishing one is to attain the praying state of Radharani. So this is the goal for Raghumar Sarakas. So he says, this is what happens. Because actually, the goal is, everyone says, You chant the holy name of Krishna and avoid these sin offenses and you'll attain Krishna praise. Everybody says that Mandir ISKCON. I was there for a while, three yugas. And they say, anyone who chants the holy name by avoiding these sin offenses will attain Krishna praise. That's a good idea. That's true also. That's definitely true. So, he's saying, what is the result? So to attain that Krishna prema, there's 16 steps to get the prema. What is the ultimate Krishna prema? Mahabhava. What's the first? That's the 16th level of prema is Mahabhava. What's the first level of prema? Shraddha. Faith. Sudhita Vishwas. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Sudhita Vishwas. Very firm, Sudrid, very unbreakable, like a laser beam. You can't break the flow of a laser beam, laser light. It's like an arrow. So Sudhita Vishwas, unbreakable faith in something sublime. This is Vishwas. That's the first step. Shraddha. And then Sarasanga. Sarasanga means what? First you have to have, because what does Shraddha define as? Shraddha means love and trust. So the first type of love is love in the form of Shraddha. The second type of love is love in the form of Sarasanga. You have to love your guru, you have to love the sadhus. Hari Guru Vaishnava Seva, praying Seva. You have to learn the testing ground for love of Krishna is with the sadhus, with the guru. You can't love the guru, you can't love the saints and Vaishnavas. Good luck. Good luck loving Krishna. No chance. So then it goes on like that. So Nandas explains. Although a devotee gradually develops a strong desire for the direct service of Radha Krishna after one attains prema, but even after prema there's more higher levels of love. What are the higher levels of love? Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anarag, bhav, mahabhav. It goes on like that. So these are higher levels. So in order, but in this sadhaka deya, in this sadhaka group, we can't attain these levels. We can't contain the ecstasy and the transformation and the weight and the power of those experiences of love. We'll blow up. We'll die. That's what it's described. But at this time, when one comes to level of prema, Krishna, at least one time, like Narada Muni, in the first canon of Bhagavatam, chapter 6, verse 28, Vishnu gave one Sakshat Darshan to Narada Muni. So Krishna will show the Raghunatha Sadaka, out of his mercy, one Darshan, either Sakshat Darshan directly, or in a Swapna, Swapna Drishti, see in a dream. Then the devotee will give up his material body like Dhruva Maharaj gave up his Panchabhotika Deha. He silently dropped his material body and Vishnu from the spiritual world brought his Siddha Deha. Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means the Parsha Deha, spiritual Siddha Deha from Vaikuntha, was given to Narada Muni directly at the time of death. So Krishna arranges. So when a devotee dies and leaves his or her body, Yogamaya will arrange for a devotee to take birth in earthly Vrindavan, where Krishna plays his manifest pastimes at that time. Prakatlila. Only in that body, that spiritual body, born and appearing in Bhava Vrindavan, can experience and contain and relish the higher sentiments of Sneha, Mahapraya, etc. So this interesting point. Most contemporary acharyas, most parivars, ascribe to what we call stopover theory. Because this is brought out in the writings of Vishnu Chakravarti, which were written about 150 years after the Six Goswamis, Vishnu wrote his commentaries in his books. So there he describes the stopover theory. After you attain prema, You go to a material universe and take birth from a womb of a gopi and meet the Nitya Parishads of Krishna and Krishna's manifest leelas. Krishna will be there in some universe with the Lita Vishakarani Rupa Rati Mandri. And get training by them and get education, get training in prema. Just like Krishna got training in prema from Radharani and Gaur Leela. He got training in prema in the Gambira from Lita Vishaka. He got training in the Tota Gopinath Bhagisha. He got training by Radharani, his Gadadhara Pandit. Trained him in the different ideas, different conceptions, and levels of prema, sneha, man, pranaya, by teaching Bhagavatam. So that's what he said, what Anantas Babaji Maharaj says, my Guru Maharaj says the same thing. But it's also pointed out to me by my teacher, but the Goswamis teach the direct route. You read the Goswami writings, Rupa Sanat, etc., six Goswamis, they all describe the stopover theory. They say you attain prema in the sanat group, you die, you go straight to Krishna. So, this is told in their books, but Vishnacharya is very powerful influence on Acharya. So most of the Parivars and most Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, not all, but most Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have accepted and adopted this conception of Vishnu and preached that to their disciples. I leave, go in there. 5 more minutes, we'll be ready to go. Jai, go in there. Jai, Radhi. Jai. Go in there, Ji, Ki, Jai. So I think that's it. We're out of time, we're actually over time. We'll read the verse again tomorrow and go on. Read the verse again with a different translation tomorrow and go on to the next verse. Varasu niti ki jai. Kavana sarasvati ki jai. Nandaswati maharaj ki jai. Jai jai shri hari. Your duty is to put these in that as fast as possible. Turn it, unplug it, turn it off. We're going to get out, because we have our Nanga. These places are Nanga.